Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to see us back in one service again this Sunday. And gosh, it's just been a good week. Hit my 52nd birthday, or as I've been saying, 49 years for the third time this last Monday. Got to travel to Tennessee and see my parents early in the week, and so it's been busy. Oh, another praise. I've got water at my house. I can flush the toilet. There's a blessing right there you just don't think about, really, right? I mean, I just never woke up and said, praise Jesus, I can flush my toilet till these last 2 weeks. And it's amazing what we take for granted in this life. And, well, I could preach a whole sermon right there, but that's not where I'm preaching today. We are preaching from Acts chapter 17. If you want to go ahead and turn there, I do want to make one introduction to everybody while you're doing that. Worshiping with us this morning is Christopher and Shannon. Let me make sure I get this last name right. Stellhorn, am I saying that right? Christopher and Shannon, they're children. They got 5 kids, and they are going to be missionaries, Ireland? Scotland. Oh, that was bad that I would get those two mixed up. They're going to be missionaries to Scotland. Right now, they are raising funds to go and to live in Scotland. That's going to be their new home. Their family's going to put roots down there. If y'all don't know, look up what happened to the church in Great Britain and Europe, even, where the great churches are built. And if you walked around there today, you'd see these huge, beautiful churches. And if you open the doors, so many of them are just flat out empty. And they're going to go and they're going to take their place right there and say, we want to share the gospel with a country that has been an incredible light for Christ, but has entered into this phase where not too many people know the gospel anymore. Take time to meet Chris and Shannon, and I'm sure they can give you all kinds of information on what they're doing, when they're doing it. And we're just so glad to have you guys here. In fact, at some point, I'm going to have Chris come back, and I'm going to have him to get up and give his testimony and share with the church what's going on. We're going to try to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to end the service with the Lord's Supper. That kind of gave me a direction that I wanted to go when I was preaching. And so I said, but God, I'm in Acts chapter 17, I wanted to make sure I stayed true, and just like always, God came through. Let me walk you through Acts chapter 17 just really quick, because I want to get to the meat of today's message, which is the gospel changes everything. Amen? So in Acts chapter 17, if you guys remember Paul and Silas and Timothy, and in the last chapter we saw they picked up Dr. Luke for a little while. They have gone through what is today modern day Turkey, and they were trying to get into the western part of modern day Turkey to share the gospel, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, whoa, I don't want you to preach there yet. Now, there's a great city that they were trying to get to that was called Ephesus. That's where we get our book Ephesians. And they just had their mindset on, we're going to get to Ephesus and we're going to preach the gospel. But the Holy Spirit said, I've got somewhere else I want you to go, and you're going to recognize some of these towns. So it said last week that they got in a ship. They sailed across the waterway there, away from what would be today the Middle Eastern part of the world, and into the eastern part of Europe. And last week, they went to a town called Philippi. That's where we get our book that was written to the church of Philippians. We met Lydia there by the waterside, and then we met the jailer there. And now, after that city, chapter 18 starts, 17 starts, it says, when Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they were two towns that were just south of Philippi. So you kind of get this picture of them coming down the coastline now. He said, after they passed those two towns, they came to the town of Thessalonica. Now that's where we get our book to the church at Thessalonica. You know what I'm saying. The church at Thessalonica that we call Thessalonians. There we go. Where there was a Jewish synagogue there. And as was the custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath day, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you, he said, is the Messiah. And some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. So we see this picture of him going into Thessalonica and doing what he's been doing, and that's sharing the gospel and seeing lives changed. Now, I want to come back and preach from chapter 17 some more, because there is a lot of good stuff going on in here. If you read on in 17, we're introduced to a character named Jason, just a paragraph about him. But I don't know if y'all know this or not. My first name is Jason, but Mom liked the name Blake better, and she didn't think Blake Jason sounded good, so she named me Jason Blake. And I know today when bill collectors call, because they'll call and they say, "May I speak to Jason," right? And I go, "No, he's not here," and I hang up. But all that said, I was so excited when I read in the Bible that Jason is in the Bible. And in fact, they say that it's a Greek derivative of Joshua. And Joshua is such a great name. I'm thinking I might change my name to Pastor Jason. It just sounds good. But I want to preach on Jason sometime. Jason just took what he had, and he used what he had. He didn't ask for something different. He had a house, he had some money, and he had his salvation. And God used him to move the gospel forward. Sometime or another, we'll go back and talk about using what you have instead of being sad about what you don't have. Amen? But we're going to skip that right now, because I want to preach about the gospel today. We're going to keep on moving. From Thessalonica, they started trying to run Paul and Silas out. And so Paul and Silas said, "Well, we've got a church started here. We've got Jason doing what Jason's doing. We're heading now to Berea." And it said in verse number 10, "As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And now the Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message." That's the gospel, right? "They received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And as a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. The gospel was preached and lives were changed." Amen? Amen. Now, we see another great story in here that some Jewish people kind of got rumbling again about him preaching the gospel. And so they actually, a group of believers, sneak Paul out of Berea and take him all the way down the coastline to the city of Athens. Now, we've heard of Athens before, but really he was just going to go to Athens for a little while and wait, because they just snuck Paul out. They left Timothy and Silas and possibly Luke. I'm not sure if Luke was still with them or if he stayed before up in Philippi. Somewhere in there, Luke kind of drops out again for a second. But we know that they left Timothy and Silas back. And I think this is a great place to talk about how we each have our part in sharing the gospel. We each do. I mean, Paul got them started, but Timothy and Silas, they stayed back, and they did some of the harder work of discipling and really pushing the gospel. And sometime or another, we're going to come back and preach on that, but I want to keep moving, because that's such a beautiful thing. Now, in verse number 16, it says, "Paul is waiting down here in Athens for Timothy and Silas to finish there so they can continue their missionary journey. It says, when Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there." Boy, that's another great little piece of scripture. It says, while Paul was waiting. Isn't that great? Paul had just this beautiful thought that God had a plan for him, right? That God loved him, that God had a plan for him, and he's just sitting and waiting on Timothy and Silas to catch up. And while he is waiting, all of a sudden he looked around and he said, "I wonder if God wants me to do some stuff here." Boy, we could preach on that. What do you do when you're waiting? What do you do when God's got you just waiting on something? Are you looking? In fact, that's kind of what we preached about last week. Let's see what Paul did. In verse number 18, "A group of Epicureans and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. That's what they did in Athens back then. You know, they would just get together and they would debate. And so he said they began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating a foreign god." So they had all these different places where you could worship their gods, the Roman gods that you read about, Zeus and all those things. And they said, "What kind of god is he talking about?" And if you look there, he says, they said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. He was preaching the gospel. And this is where he gets up, and there's this place where you worship the unknown God, right? And Paul just kind of looks, hey, there's a place for an unknown God. He said, I'm going to go ahead and tell you about the unknown God you've been worshiping. And he tells them about God and about how he sent Jesus Christ. And if we jump all the way down, it said in verse 32, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, when they heard about the gospel, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. And at that, Paul left the council. And it says, some of the people became followers of Paul, and they believed. Among them was Dionysus, a member of this council called the Areopagus. Also a woman named Demarius, and a number of others. When the gospel is preached, lives are changed. How many of y'all today believe that when the gospel is preached, that lives are changed? Good. I don't know why you'd be here today if you didn't believe that. Maybe you need your life changed. You're heading out. Maybe that's why you're here today. But even in that, I think you have this thought that there is something about the gospel, that when the gospel is preached, it changes life. If you knew someone that life was just really messed up right now, and you can probably think of somebody like that. Somebody that is going through some horrible times and some issues and some problems. Can I tell you what the answer to that is? The gospel, right? That Jesus died for our sins. That's what you would need to share with them. If you saw someone hurting, someone that needed hope in their life, someone that needed a direction, that needed to know that they weren't alone, that there's a plan in all this, here's where you would start. You would tell them the gospel, that Christ died for our sins and he rose again. And that accomplished everything. How are you doing at preaching the gospel? How are you doing at preaching the gospel? Oh, no, this is going to be one of those where you feel really guilty, right? And some of you are going, okay, how long is this thing going to last? But I'm not talking about preaching the gospel to other people. Because here's what I want to say. I think so many times we're worried about preaching the gospel to other people because we never preach the gospel to ourselves. Do you preach the gospel every day to yourself? If we believe that preaching the gospel changes lives, do you have anything in your life that you need changed? Well, then if we take that back, what you need to do is you need to preach the gospel to yourself to change those things that you're having issues with in your life. I wrote down just a few. Do you need life change in your marriage? Do you need life change in your parenting? Do you need life change in your finances? Do you need life change in setting goals or being disciplined? Are you battling anxiety or having trouble in friendships? Are there small things that you just have trouble and issues, like when you're sitting in the traffic or you're behind someone using coupons at the grocery store? Is there places and issues in your life where you say, I need something there, and let's go back to this. When the gospel is preached, lives are changed. Are you preaching the gospel to yourself? Well, you say, like, I've been saved, right? What are you talking about? The gospel, right, is to forgive me of my sins. Can I tell you right now, that's just part of the gospel? That's a good part of the gospel, right? that Christ took my sins on his shoulder, and through his righteousness that he covered it. Is there an extra bottle of water down there that you have? Well, if even you had drank out of it, I don't care. Give it here, Chris, man. COVID's over Wednesday, I heard. Woo, I got Chris germs. Okay, here we go. Guys, here's what I want you to hear. Is that is the great part of the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins. But what we find is that there is so much more to the gospel than that. In the fact that Jesus died for our sin and he rose, suddenly the Bible says that we have the boldness to walk into the throne room of God. Isn't that a great part of the gospel? Because of the gospel, because Jesus died for our sins, he said, I'm going here, but I'm going to send an encourager, the Holy Spirit, to be a seal that gives you a hope for all eternity and that is going to help you in this life to mature as a Christian. That's part of the gospel, that you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Listen, part of the gospel is just this idea that every day there is a plan. There's a plan for you. Oh, thank you, brother. Here's your germs back, Chris. There we go. All right, COVID-free water. Woo! There's a plan for you. In fact, I love that verse in Ephesians when because we were doing our devotion. We need to get back on that. We were doing our devotions on Ephesians. And, boy, I'm all over the place. I'm sorry, guys. And there's this wonderful verse where Paul just says, it's not by works that you're saved, lest any man should boast. But then it says, you are the handiwork of God. And he's, therefore, because of the gospel, in Christ Jesus, it says, because of the gospel, he has prepared works for you, good works for you. That means that because of the gospel, God goes ahead of you, and he's putting things in your way that you need, and sometimes they're hard things. That's the gospel. Listen, are you preaching the gospel to yourself? Jesus didn't come just to save us. He came to remake us. And that's the process we're in. Well, if we're going to do that, if we're going to preach the gospel to ourselves, we got to answer a few questions in the next 10 minutes. Are y'all ready for this? Because we got to have a little time for the Lord's Supper at the end, which I think just fits perfectly in this thought of preaching the gospel to ourselves. If we're going to preach the gospel to ourselves, here's first thing. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? I guarantee you that you know what the gospel is, but if we just try to get everybody to throw in what the gospel is, we'd get a lot of different answers. And so I've just found this really simple way to get the kind of the major part of the gospel, the center point of the gospel that everybody can work with. So let's do this. Everybody take a fist, just hold your fist out like this, and we're going to open up one finger at a time. We're going to say, Christ died for my sins and was raised. Okay, we got it. That's the gospel. Christ died for my sins and was raised. You could take each part of that. Christ, that's the Son of God. That's part of the Trinity. We learn in John, the Word was with God from the beginning, and the Word was God, and the Word dwelt among us. That's Christ. Christ, that guy. The most beautiful, amazing friend and salvation that exists within our Savior. I mean, Christ. Can you imagine that? Died. He sacrificed. He paid everything. He did not hold anything back. The creator of the world in fleshly form said, I'm giving it all. Christ died for. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't like he had this big plan that was going to go forward and all of a sudden the Romans messed it up. He had a purpose in everything that unfolded. Christ died for my. It's personal. That's when I think of the gospel. I want to think about the world, but before I think of the world, I need to think about me. Christ died for me. Christ died for my sins. I was a sinner. I deserve death, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Come on. Christ died for my sin. If it wasn't for Christ, I would have an eternity separated from God. And then Christ died for my sin, and he rose again. Yeah, that means he defeated death. That means he took my sin on his shoulders, defeated it, and therefore it opened up all those things we said about me having boldness and me being able to every day go, there is a plan in my life. There is work set out for me. I can look and say, I am not alone because the Holy Spirit dwells inside me. And listen, I have hope no matter what goes on in this world. Of an eternal life. Christ died for my sins and he rose. That's the gospel. Are you preaching that to yourself every day? Are you reminding yourself every day of just that simple truth that Christ died for you? He died for your sins. That's taken care of. You're not going to live a life that's pushed by guilt anymore. Or how do I make God happy with me anymore? You're going to live a life where you say, I am thankful that Christ paid for that. And now I am adopted child of God. What if you preach that to yourself every day? Why should you preach that to yourself? Because walking in the faith of the gospel in our lives isn't natural. It's not natural to just walk in the faith. I wish that it was. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be. When we walk into eternity in the new earth and the new heavens that will come one day when Jesus returns, it's going to be natural for us to walk in the faith. But right now, it's not. It's natural for us to walk in doubt. It's natural for me to walk in self-condemnation. It's natural for me to walk in pride. It's natural for me to walk in trying to control my life. It's natural for me to walk in a sinful way. That's the natural person. Now, when Christ died for me, I am no longer a slave to that natural inclination that I have. He freed me from that. It's because of freedom that I'm free, right? And when he did that, it changes everything, but it's not natural. So what do I need to do? I need to preach the gospel to myself every day. Because if I'm going to do things that aren't natural, if I'm not going to walk in pride, if I'm not going to walk in self-condemnation, if I'm not going to walk in wanting power and control, if I'm going to walk in humility and love, I need to remind myself every day why I do that. I wrote this down. I have to do that. Not the pastor, not the guy on the radio, not the Christian music singer. Great service this morning, by the way. I love the worship service we had. But listen, if you are looking for those things to preach the gospel to you every day, you're going to be partially effective. No one is more influential in your life than you are. No one is more. Because no one talks to you more than you do. Is that an amen? I mean, you can listen to me for an hour a week, but you've got a 24-hour a day, well, I guess when you're sleeping, maybe not, well, a 12-hour a day conversation going on in your brain. You do. And you're the most influential person in your life. And I can preach you the gospel, and Chris can sing about the gospel, and you can listen to podcasts about the gospel, and you can read books about the gospel, but that's just going to be a small part of your day. The question is the most influential person in your life preaching the gospel to you every day? I put this, God sends things in your life. God sends things in your life. Oh, I put a little alarm on here so I wouldn't go too long. Oh, well. There we go. Oh. Are you serious? Hi. It will not It's singing I Surrender All. Love it. Okay, that means I've got 5 minutes left. God sends things in your life, and what you, and some of them are tests. Some of them are tests on what you are preaching to yourself. Because let me tell you this. You are preaching something to yourself. Right now, there is something going in your brain, especially when something hard comes into your life. You're going to preach something to yourself. Just last week, I got up here and I told you that that we need to be aware that sometimes God stops us and slows us down. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? And then Monday, I'm going to Tennessee. I rented a car. And last minute, the car I rented dropped out. They had some issues with it. And I was renting from a person, not from a group. I'll explain that all some other time. But suddenly, with about 30 minutes to go before I'm supposed to leave on this trip, I don't have a car to take. And we're on the way to Cyprus to pick up this car. Rebecca's with me. She's dropping me off to pick up the rental car. And all of a sudden, I get this message that the car is broken and you can't take it to Tennessee. And I just go into crazy mode, right? What? You know, and I'm just, and Rebecca just see the sweat coming off my, you know, I'm going, you know, why would I just need to go? And then all of a sudden she looked at me and she said, why don't you think about what you preached on Sunday? Oh, it was hard. It was hard just to say, okay, God's slowing me down for a reason, right? Because my natural inclination is to get mad that that car dropped out. My natural inclination, the thing, the gospel I'm preaching inside my head is that when bad things happen, I need to get mad, I need to get have anxiety about them, I need to fight back. That's the gospel I'm preaching in my mind naturally. Listen, you're preaching some kind of gospel. And so here's what we've got to do. We have to tell ourselves, no, I'm a saved child of God, and I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to myself when those situations hit. Do you know sometimes God wants you to go through a hard time? Doesn't that make you mad? God wants. I'm saying God. It's not just God allows. I mean, sometimes it's an allow, but sometimes God wants you to go through a hard time. Why? Because God wants to accomplish something in your life that you can't accomplish without going through that hard time. And if you're not preaching the gospel to yourself, you're going to misread that hard time God has you going through. You've got to be able to preach the gospel. Let's finish this up, and we're going to go into the Lord's Supper. So now we said what? The gospel. Christ died for my sins and was raised. Why? Because I'm preaching something up here, and I need to be preaching the gospel. Now, the question is how? How do you apply that in your life? Listen, there's two ways. One of them you really, really want to know, and I'm not going to spend any time on it. It's the reactive way. What do I do, Blake, when something happens in my life? What do I do when something happens in my marriage? What do I do when something happens at work? What do I do? And because I was searching that this week. I, you know, that's what we want, some little thing, you know, that we can do. All I can tell you is when issues come up, if you can just remember, review the gospel. When a rent-a-car drops out on you, take a second and say, Christ died for my sins, and he was raised. And start going, how does that apply to this situation? How does the gospel apply to a rent-a-car? How does it apply to the lady using coupons at the grocery store? How does it apply to the traffic? How does it apply to my marriage? Just stop and walk through each of those things. Maybe you need to think about Christ for a second, your thumb. You know, think about him dying for a second. Think about the fact that it was for your sins. Think about how he raised. And maybe in that raising you're going, well, wait a minute, I've got the Holy Spirit now because of the gospel that I can work through. There's so many things. Reactively, that's all I can give you. But proactively, listen, if we start every day preaching the gospel to ourselves, if we, you know, here's a simple way. What if you just woke up every morning? What was the first song you sang, Solid Rock? I mean, listen, on Christ the solid rock I stand. all other ground is sinking sand. I mean, if we just got up in the morning and just for a second sang that song and say, I am standing on solid rock today. I'm preaching the gospel to myself. The rock I'm standing on is that Christ died for my sins and he was raised. Everything else is sinking sand. If we would just take a second and just think about the beauty of Christ. If we would remember that we are children of God because of what Christ did for us. If we would just rest in the knowledge that God provides all power and provision in our life. If we would just act in the reliance on Him. Here's what would happen. If every day we started preaching the gospel to ourselves, five things you'd see in your life. You would become more humble. You would become more humble. When Paul was preaching in Athens, he just told them how big God was. He said, this God that created the world and set everything into place. You know, as you preach the gospel to yourselves, you realize, I'm a sinner saved by grace of the one God. Humility would show up in your life. Authenticity. Oh, that's a hard one. Authenticity would start showing up in your life. How many times do we live our life so people don't know who we are inside? If you would preach the gospel to yourself, you would find that your worth is not in what people think of you, but in Jesus Christ. What he thought about you and what God thought about you. And you have the beautiful gift of being able to be authentic in a world full of unauthentic people. If you preach the gospel to yourself every day, you would learn that you are a bold person. You're bold. You may not think you're bold, but if every day you are reminded that the creator of the universe loves you so much that he saved you by sending his son to die for you, and he's got good works planned for you, suddenly there's just this boldness that comes up in you to say, I can do those works because he's already given me everything I need through the Holy Spirit. You can be hopeful in your life, humble, authentic, bold, hopeful. Sometimes you're not happy in life. I get that. But you can always be hopeful because Jesus died for you, because this world isn't our home. I mean, maybe you should change instead of don't worry, be happy. Change it to don't worry, be hopey. Right? And you can get through a lot of life by just saying, listen, I don't understand why I'm walking through this. I don't understand how I'm going to get through it. But I have a hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ that I will. And finally, you can be grateful. Listen, so many times we take it for granted, those little things that God gives us every day. But as we preach the gospel to ourselves every day, we start realizing everything we have is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When the gospel is preached, lives are changed. How about this week? Preach the gospel to yourself. Right now, I'm going to give you one more way to remember the gospel. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. If I can get my deacons to go ahead and go and get the elements, they're going to pass those out to you guys. Guys, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about this Lord's Supper. And I want you to hear in verse 28, after he has told them about the Lord's Supper, he said this, "For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You know, why do we take the Lord's Supper? Guys, y'all can go ahead and pass that out. Why do we take the Lord's Supper? We take the Lord's Supper to remember that Christ died for our sins and he was raised. As you take this today, allow it to preach the gospel in your life. We're going to pass out these and I'll walk us through taking each one of those.